New York Governor Andrew Cuomo accused of making unwanted advances on a female at a wedding. In other news, Governor Andrew Cuomo is a guy. Yeah, it happens. AOC says she wants a $24 an hour minimum wage, and six Dr. Seuss books are being canceled. Excuse me, what is that all about?
It's all about Alabama, Hollywood, rock and roll, eating good, sports in the deep south,
news from the White House,
indiscretion,
big stupid questions,
and all things extracurricular,
AM, FM, and online,
all top 95. It's a show about every damn thing,
and nothing in particular. Listening to Richard Dixon
on Birmingham's Real Talk 99.5.
Yeah, boy, here we are. It's yet another one of these things. Tuesday, a bit of a rainy one as well, much like yesterday was. It's going to be okay, though. We'll get through it. We'll get through it. Portions of today's show brought to you by our friends at Way to Wellness. Way to Wellness is going to take the weight off of you that you put on over the course of the past, it's been 50 weeks to flatten the curve. It's actually supposed to be 2 weeks to flatten the curve, but a lot of people never manage to get out of their houses or have done so infrequently. You know all that bunk about how, well, if you just, instead of eating out all the time, if you just stayed home and cooked for yourself, you'd lose weight. Well, that turned out to be a lie, didn't it? Because we all stayed home and cooked for ourselves, and everybody put on weight. But Way to Wellness can help you take it off. Look, they follow all the COVID protocols. You know, it's a doctor's office. So really, you're dealing with one of the cleanest, nicest, most germ-free environments you can find. And it is, of course, physician-supervised weight loss that really works. You think it's going to cost a lot? It doesn't. It's easy on your budget. It's easy to follow. I saw John Byrd earlier today. He's down 26 pounds since he started this 2 months ago. 26 pounds in 2 months. You could be 26 pounds down. Now, if you would start it on January 1st, if you start today or next week, you can be down 26 pounds by the end of April. Does that sound pretty good? Sounds pretty good to me. Way to Wellness, aplanforme.com, aplanforme.com, 994-2393, 994-2393. Physician-supervised weight loss that really, really works. Let's talk about some of the stupidity that is in the news today, and certainly we'll get a big stupid question out there for you as well. Open up the Birmingham Broker phone lines and try to have some fun. This is quite the to-do that Andrew Cuomo is accused of making unwanted advances at a wedding in 2019. It was to somebody who had been an Obama administration member, low level, and part of the Biden campaign and half Cuomo's age. And I don't know if you know this or not, but sometimes at wedding receptions, people get a little loaded. And I assume that Cuomo may have had, you know, a tipple or two, and then ran across this woman who was wearing a dress that had a bare back. So he reached around and grabbed her in the small of the back, put his hand there. She removed it physically. Was like, yeah, that's not going to happen. And then he says, "You seem really aggressive. Can I kiss you?" And leaned in to kiss her, hands on the face, Joe Biden style. Leans in to kiss her. She turns her head. She said she was so shocked she didn't know what to say. She couldn't even find the word no in her vocabulary at that time. But here's the thing. She rejected him and he walked away. Now, he may have been a little more aggressive than he should have been, but this in no way, shape, or form constitutes sexual assault. Let's be clear on that. Some of the other stuff that Andrew Cuomo has done is questionable at best. And criminal at worst, because if he's treating his underlings in his offices with the kind of, with the sort of behavior that's been reported, you know, he is their superior. He has control over their work environment. We literally have video training on this every single year, David, sometimes twice a year, right? We have to sit down and do the whole sexual harassment thing. Is this okay? Can you this? Can you
say that? We get that and the digital safety one. Those are so much
fun. Making sure that, you know, nobody is going to come in and catch you with a phishing thing or whatever, which I understand that. I don't know if this was before your time. I want to say it was, David. I want to say it was back around 2004 or 5, maybe even earlier than that. But, you know, we had the email, the company-wide email, and suddenly I started getting all kinds of emails from people within the company that said the subject line was pictures from my party. And I was like, I don't know those people, and I certainly wasn't at any party of any company. And this was, you know, the company's large. It's a good-sized company. Even back then, it was Citadel, and it was still huge. And, you know, I'm not clicking on any of these things because I know better than that because I have a brain in my head. And finally, on about day 2.5, corporate sends down an edict. Nobody is to open any email with the subject line, pictures from my party. It is a virus, and it is spreading like wildfire through the company, and it is eating our information, and it is et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So this is why we have to go through corporate training, because people are stupid. And they'll occasionally go, oh, pictures from my party. I've never met this person, but let's click on that and see how that looks. I want to see those. There's also a lot of, I must get this 2 to 3 times a day. You think I'm exaggerating. I'm not. 2 to 3 times a day, I get a Facebook message. Is this you in this video? It's a virus. Don't ever click on that video. Don't ever look for it. Somebody who is on my Facebook friend list or is a follower of the show page, you know, downloaded that, and then it perpetuates itself, and it runs across computers, hijacks your computer, and uses it for other things. So this is why we have to have that sort of corporate training. And Andrew Cuomo is the reason why we have to have training about what you can and cannot do when it comes to sexual harassment. And, you know, I've been in radio a while, and I can tell you with great certainty that things have changed in the radio workplace. It used to be kind of a loosey-goosey, well, you know, WKRP, where Herb was constantly hitting on Jennifer. I mean, just constantly hitting on Jennifer. That was more the norm than not. It really was. It was pretty common in radio stations for, you know, there to be at least one dog who was always hitting on all the women's, and then there was usually one kind of low-lying guy who was also hitting on all the women's, but nobody was talking about it because he wasn't, you know, bellowing it across the hallway or using a megaphone when he was doing it. And then there's one guy who was completely under the radar and was actually getting all the women. It was very strange. But anyway, I was never that guy. I wasn't any of those three guys. I was none of those guys. I was the guy off to the side watching everything and going, I don't like people. I don't like people.
Not much has changed.
No, it really hasn't. I'm pretty much still living the same life. But yeah, Andrew Cuomo goes to a wedding. He has a couple of beverages. He hits on a woman. She says no. He walks away. Because there are pictures of it and because there are two other women. And I mentioned this yesterday, by the way. I actually told you another woman had come forward before I think that news even really broke nationwide. Yesterday or this morning, because I'd seen it in a couple of places it was being tweeted about, and I said, yeah, okay, third woman has come out, and here she is. And now we're seeing, you know, pictures of the event and so on and so forth. I'm not comfortable lumping this in with the other stuff. I mean, I don't want to be that way, but at some point you have to say, no, this is okay. Maybe going in for an unwanted kiss was not okay, but she turned her head, okay? And then she, you know, she rejected him and he went away. He didn't come back and hit on her some more. He didn't come back and try to grope her. He didn't try to get her drunk and take advantage of her. He didn't play the "don't you know who I am" card. It's just not in the same category as what he was doing at his office, which was sexually harassing women who were, he was the direct superior of. Well, he's the, you know, governor of New York. He's the direct superior of pretty much everyone in government in the state of New York, unless they're in the federal government. So those are bad enough, by the way. And I still believe there's going to be more of those that come forward. I wouldn't be surprised if you ended up with 2 or 3. We're already beginning to go back and looking at when he was in the Obama administration as Health and Human Services or something. He was a secretary, Labor Department, something like that. I don't remember. But we're beginning to get stories that he was apparently harassing women then as well. It's funny how this works. You know, Donald Trump gets accused of all of these. 13 women have come forward and this and that and the other thing. And then it all just dies down and quiets down when he becomes president of the United States. The handful of women who are, you know, still, you know, the E. Jean Carrolls of the world who are saying from out of the blue, the guy's been the president for 2 years. And she's like, oh, and by the way, he raped me 20 years ago. You're like, really? You've decided now, after he's been in the public eye since 1984, and he spent a year and change running for the office of the presidency, but you weren't going to come forward then. And then he was president for a year, almost 2 years, and you weren't going to come forward during any of that. Now, suddenly today you decided, come on, let's get serious here. Not one shred of evidence exists, and she's suing him for defamation because he said she's crazy and it never happened. You can't say that! Well, in order for you to prove that it's defamation, you're going to have to prove that the rape actually took place, and you have zero evidence, and Donald Trump doesn't even remember meeting you, and nobody witnessed this incident, even though you say it happened like in the middle of a major New York department store. I'm sorry, but I find that a little flimsy. They harp on that in the media. They harp on Brett Kavanaugh in the media. But you've got a guy, Andrew Cuomo, who's in the Obama administration in one of the big high-muckety-muck departments, and he's treating women like sexual objects, and somehow the press doesn't cover any of that. That just gets buried. They listen to Hillary when it comes to tamping down Bill Clinton's bimbo eruptions. We're not going to talk about those things. See, it's perfectly okay to sexually harass women if we agree with your politics. That's fine. If we agree with your politics, you can sexually harass all the women you want. It doesn't matter. But if we don't agree with your politics, well, then you shouldn't say a word about women because we're going to take it the wrong way and we're going to abuse you endlessly. That's pretty much the way it works right now in the media. It's a sad state of affairs. Nonetheless, shed not one tear for Andrew Cuomo. He's a weasel. He really should, like I said yesterday, he should be brought down as a result of the nursing home scandal and the fact that 9,000 people who could feasibly be alive today are dead because of his edict. But they're not going to do that. They're not going to bring him down because of that. They're going to try to bring him down because of this. I guess this is more socially palatable for them, or they don't like accusing their own of murder. I'm not sure exactly. Enough about that. There's so many other things to talk about today that are worthwhile, starting with a really great big stupid question of the day, which I completely stole from somebody else. That should not be a surprise. Most of these are stolen. I mean, I'm influenced by others. That's my story, David. I'm influenced
you
by
are,
others.
You're not influenced. Uh-huh. You're taking creative liberties.
Is it still influence if you just copy and paste? Is that still influence?
I'll allow it.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Hey, if I see something good, I'm ripping it off, man. Steal from me and you're stealing twice. Let's take a quick break. We will hurry back and get that big stupid question out there. Stick around. From their album Third Stage, Cool the Engines. The big song off of that one was Amanda, but there were a couple of others that were worthwhile. Until that moment, see, Tom Scholz had a big argument with his record company. He just, they put out the first album. It was the fastest selling debut album of all time. Nobody had ever seen anything like it. It struck a chord with America rock audiences. It was kind of, I guess, what they thought they needed in 1977. It corporate rock, and it really kind of invented the term corporate rock. No good reason for it to be called corporate rock, but it because one guy, Tom Scholz, was the guy who wrote and produced the entire thing, and then had Brad Delp come in and sing on it. And he actually played all the instruments on the first, edition of it. And then he had to go out and he had to find some people, who could then play Barry Goodrow and, Sid Seab. I can never pronounce that drummer's name. And bring them in and put them in a studio. And while they were re-recording the stuff that he had done, he was down in his basement sweetening the stuff that he had done and actually ended up releasing basically the album that he had recorded himself with Brad Delp's vocals. But then the thing sold so fast, of course corporate America says, well, we have got to get another one out there immediately. We have to rush and get another album out. We can't take our time on this thing. We have to strike while the fire is hot, and Schultz fought against it tooth and nail, but he was contractually obligated, and so they came out with the second album, which Don't Look Back. maybe because he was under pressure, or maybe it's because he just, I don't know, maybe because the first one was overplayed or whatever. I like Don't Look Back a little bit better than the first one. I really do. I'm a fan of the sophomore album more so than the original. And it sounds great, but he hated it. I mean, Tom Schultz absolutely hated it. He hated the fact that they made him do it. He hated the fact that he rushed it. He never liked the sound of it. It never sounded the way he wanted it to. He ended up getting into a big contractual dispute with his record company and did not come out with another album until, what, the mid-'80s? I mean, it was like 7 years or so. During that time, my friends and I used to joke that Boston had three albums out. They had the original Boston, Don't Look Back, and The Best of Boston, which was a double album set. They came out with a fourth one, by the way. Sorry. It didn't fly for me. The fourth one was, first off, Brad Delp didn't do all the singing. He did just a little bit of the singing on the fourth one. And it just, I don't know. Here, Tom Schultz was given all the time he wanted, all the time he needed, and all the studio stuff and glitz and glam that he wanted. And I'm telling you, Don't Look Back was still the best work that he ever churned out. But what the hell do I know? It's 12:19. I know that. I know that Sentinel Firearms and SentinelFirearms.us are at 592-3004, 906 North 40th Street. If you're looking to do some shooting, you cannot find a better place. I mean, Sentinel Firearms has got the... they've got the accessories. They can put them on for you. You got an AR if you've got a pistol, a rifle. You've got a shotgun, whatever it is that you need. They sell those as well. The pipeline is slowly filling back up again, but you'll find some every single day that you're there. And then, of course, low-priced on ammo as well. And gunsmithing, you got a problem with your firearm, you just need it cleaned out, maybe buy one of their cool new cleaning kits. They got some great ones in, or have them do it for you. They always do a good job for me. Sentinel Firearms, SentinelFirearms.us, 906 North 40th Street, proud sponsor of...
The Big Stupid Question of the Day.
Which is this. Satan has opened the portal to heck, a lighter version of hell. What kind of punishments would you find in heck? Anybody? What kind of punishments would you find in heck? How about this? You have a television that has 370 channels that you actually enjoy watching, but the only way to change the channel is with a remote control where the batteries are really low. You have to keep opening up the back and spinning them. There's no more batteries. You can't get more batteries. You have to push the buttons harder in order to try to get them to... Yeah, that's... That's my version of heck. It's a lighter version of hell.
What if you got to play with puppies, but you didn't have your allergy medicine?
Now you're talking. 545-9950, 844-455-9950. If you would like to chime in, I would love to hear it. I got a lot of food talk for you later today as well, and we'll get to it. I'm just not going to... I'm not going to break it out first thing, but there's a good handful of issues that we can talk about, and every one of them is goodly sized. Oh, by the way, going back to the Cuomo thing for just a second, he obviously realizes he's in trouble. He's lawyered up. The man has hired a criminal defense attorney. Also, apparently, there is some union in the state of New York that is calling for his resignation. Boy, I'll tell you what. When you lose the unions, when you're a Democrat and you lose the unions, you got serious trouble. I don't know that it's going to happen, and I got to be honest, I'm not exactly sure who the lieutenant governor. I mean, I'm sure the same was true when it came to Alabama, and we had our own governor who was resigning. People, you know, nationwide were kind of like, who's the lieutenant governor in Alabama? We knew it was Kay Ivey, but, you know, people in other states didn't. Well, we have no earthly idea who the lieutenant governor is in New York, and you have to wonder, could it feasibly somebody better, or is it going to be somebody worse? Because there is such a thing as having somebody worse. There is such a thing as, you know, better the devil you know. It's one of the reasons why when they were talking about impeaching Bill Clinton and actually going through the process of doing so, there were a lot of Republicans who were like, this is not a good idea. Al Gore is not the solution to the problem. And then, you know, when he does, you know, if he takes over, then Al Gore is running as an incumbent. And you automatically have, you know, the bully pulpit of the presidency. It's easier to run as an incumbent when people aren't, you know, cooking the books and stealing the vote through mail-in voting and nonsense like that. So there were a lot of people that were against it. It also tends to, you know, jump back. It can jump back and bite back and beat you. A perfect example being when Guy Hunt ended up being forced out of office. And little Jim Folsom, because we elect ours separately. We elected a Republican governor and a Democrat lieutenant governor. Little Jim Folsom was the lieutenant governor. And he ended up running against Fob James because he was now the sitting governor. So we ran as an incumbent. And people who thought that Guy Hunt got railroaded showed up in droves and voted for Fob James and threw Little Jim out. So, you know, it doesn't always work out the way you want it to. And if there are people who really like Andrew Cuomo in New York, and I don't know if there are or there aren't, but if they end up getting him drummed out of office, the next time a Democrat runs against a Republican for that seat, and there have been Republican governors in the state of New York in the recent past, George Pataki was a Republican, you could feasibly be doing yourself a great disservice. All right, enough of this political ledger domain. Let's instead pause for a little first news. And then we will hurry back, get some answers to the big stupid question of the day as we open the portals to heck. Don't go away. East turns 50 this year. And today is the 37th. I'm doing the math in my head here. I think this is right. 37th anniversary of This Is Spinal Tap. That was 84, I think. Yeah, This Is Spinal Tap came out on this day in 1984. These go to 11. It is 12:30. I am Richard Dixon. This is Talk 99.5 and talk99.5.com. And, you know, it's more than just what the mortgage rate is. The mortgage rate is important, don't get me wrong. You know, last thing you want to do is trade a good rate for a bad rate. But knowing how to best work what is really a large financial tool, your house has some leverage behind it. Sometimes you've got equity in it. Sometimes it's a question of what kind of payments you want to make and how long you want to make them for, and other things that you'd rather be doing with your money. If you can take some money out and you can invest it in something that is going to pay off more, then, well, you put yourself in a situation. Again, it's a financial tool. And I am not the guy to be talking to about this. No, no. The folks at Weber Mortgage, they're the ones to be talking to about this because they've been at it, well, two generations now. They know their stuff. And if you just give them an idea, just say, here's why I want to go. And then they will draw up the map to get you from where you are to where you'd like to be using your mortgage as one of their tools. It's a pretty cool concept. And, you know, yeah, rates are low, probably lower than you know, if in the last 6 or 8 months you haven't taken a look, now would be a good time to do it. Weber Mortgage, 270-5550, 270-5550. 5550 Weber with 1B, WeberMortgage.com on the World Wide Web. You can find out all about them there. WeberMortgage.com on the World Wide Web. NMLS number 219938. Satan has opened up the portal to heck. Heck being the lighter version of hell. What kind of mild punishment awaits you there? Tom is in Hoover. Got an answer to the big stupid question of the day. On the Birmingham Broker phone line, 545-9950. What's up, Tommy?
Mr. Quizzit. Listen, plus also I wanted to let you know, I went into a music store yesterday, sir, to get some gear for a praise band I'm starting to be in. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at one section of the instruments, and they were sold out. Guess what instrument it was?
What instrument was sold out? Harmonicas. Basses. I have no idea.
Basses were sold out. Where's all the gear? And they're like, people just bought them up. Manufacturing has stopped making them.
Huh. So I wonder why that is.
Anybody wants to play bass, better grab what you can.
Better go get... First off, I'd like to know who wants to play bass, okay? You know what they call a bass player with a beeper? An optimist. What? That's right.
I gotcha.
You want to hear my bass? Wait, I got my. Here's my good bass player joke. This is the best one. Do you actually play bass, Tom?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So this kid says to his dad, "I want to learn to play bass." And his dad says, "No problem. We'll set you up with some lessons. I'll get you a cheap bass, and you know you can get to learning." So he takes him to his music lesson first day, and he comes home, and dad says, "What'd you learn?" He says, "Well, I learned the first three notes on the bottom string." He says, "That's a pretty good start." And next week he goes off to his lesson, comes back. Dad says, "What'd you learn today?" He says, "I learned the first three notes on the second string." So that's wonderful. Glad to hear it. Third week he goes off to his lesson. He comes back. Dad says, "What'd you learn?" He says, "I learned the first three notes on the third string." Dad's like, "Well, you're coming right along here." Fourth week, dad says, "What'd you learn at your lesson today?" Kid says, "I blew it off. I had a gig."
That's pretty good.
Only a bass player. Only a bass player gets that. Anyway, what kind of mild punishments await us in heck, Tom? What?
Babies screaming all 24/7.
That might be more like hell.
Yeah. You, man.
That might be more like hell. Thank you, Tommy. I appreciate the call, man. It's funny, I had some folks over on Sunday night. We were doing a little jamming. I met a great bass player named Errol. He said he has a Fender. I think he said he has a Fender Precision. But he brought this knockoff. He said, "I paid $88 for this bass, and I actually like the sound a little bit better than I like from the actual Fender." And it's funny because that's what I was looking for, was an inexpensive bass. I want a nice bass rig to have in my house. I have a piano. I have drums. I've got an acoustic guitar. I've got two electric guitars. I've got three amps. If I can get a bass rig set up and maybe even a small PA, then people can come over and jam at my house all the time. And you don't have to bring your own instruments. You know, we can just be having a party or hanging out and go, "Hey, let's go play some music." Just something I'm trying to put together, but I have to decide to pull the trigger on it. I'm the world's worst shopper. I will look at things. I so relate to Liam Neeson in Taken at the beginning of it. He's going to look at this karaoke machine for his daughter. And the guy's like, "You've been in here 47 times. I'm like, "That's me, man." I will go back and I will look at that damn bass. I was like, "Is this one I want, or do I want this one over here? That one's more than I want to spend, but at the same time, it's got the extra thing that I need with a bass rig, and I got to give, I'm not going to make up my mind right now. I'll decide later." Oh, geez, just pull the trigger, you wuss. Sorry, I got self-involved there. 545-9950, 844-455-9950. Dr. Seuss is being canceled. Six Dr. Seuss books are going to be stopped. They're stopping the publishing over, are you ready for this? Racist images. Racist images. These are the books. Hold on, I have a list of them here. "And to Think I Saw It on Mulberry Street," "If I Ran the Zoo," "McGilligot's Pool," "On Beyond Zebra," "Scrambled Eggs Super," and the Cat's Quizzer. Mm-hmm. Dr. Seuss Enterprises listened to and took feedback from our audiences, including teachers, academics, and specialists in the field, as part of our review process. We then worked with a panel of experts, including educators, to review our catalog of titles. Books by Dr. Seuss, who was born Theodore Seuss Geisel in Springfield, Massachusetts in 1904, have been translated into dozens of languages as well as in Braille and are sold in more than 100 countries. He, of course, passed away in 1991. Would you believe he is the second biggest money-making dead celebrity? Made $33 million last year. Well, that's $33 million more than I made last year.
Well, no, you didn't make $0. No, but I think...
According to the IRS, I did.
I think that's not that shocking, because you got to remember, he sells so many books. You've now got the Dr. Seuss Land at Universal, which I'm sure he gets a cut of. All the merchandise they sell there, I'm sure his estate gets a cut of. Plus the residuals from all the Cat in the Hat, Grinch movies that have been out there. So, I mean, he's probably making buku bucks from residuals. And they occasionally write a new book with his characters in it that he can get a fee for as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm. And he's a dead guy. What's he doing with the money? That's what I'd like to know. Having put racist images in his children's books, no doubt entitles him to a place in heck where he's being mildly tortured. Seriously, I can tell you right now what some of these images are. Particularly, I remember on Beyond Zebra, which is a book about how the alphabet goes on beyond Z. There are all kinds of wonderful letters, and they're of course manufactured out of the mysterious mind of Dr. Seuss. But one of them features an animal wearing a coolie hat. A coolie hat being something that was actually worn by Chinese decades ago, century ago. It was a method of keeping cooler. You know what I'm talking about. It's a straw hat. It's sort of pagoda-shaped. I don't know of another way to put it. Saucer-shaped with a point at the top of it. You can look it up. You can see exactly what I'm talking about. And by the way, they actually did wear them, okay? So that's something that was actually worn by Chinese people. And Dr. Seuss puts one on an animal, and they're like, oh, that's racist. How is that right? People actually did wear those. Chinese people. And he's trying to make this character look Asian, so he puts a coolie hat on him. How is that racist? I don't understand it. Because it actually happened. It's so weird to me. Arthur is in Alabaster. He's got an answer to the big stupid question of the day. Arthur, you're on Talk 99.5. What's going on?
Richard, this is Heck. Time and time again, you would drive through the McDonald's drive-through line really wanting an ice cream sundae, and they tell you eternally the ice cream machine is broken.
You must really want that ice cream from McDonald's. I mean, what is it about McDonald's ice cream that makes it so delicious, huh? Is it that it's hard to get? Is it the rarity of it?
Well, when I think about it, it may, my version of Heck may just be a little bit too close to reality.
It might very well be.
Because,
yeah.
It seldom does. Maybe it is rare.
Maybe
seldom seems to work.
We might be in Heck right now. We might actually be in Heck right now. I would love to continue this conversation, Arthur, but I need you to pull ahead and wait for your fries, if you do that, please. It's 12:40. I saw, this was a great quote. And I hope I don't get it wrong. And I cannot remember the life of me who said it. It was nobody whose name I recognized. It wasn't like some brilliant philosopher. But the quote is this, having to do with Dr. Seuss. Name for me one time in history when the people who were banning books and trying to censor speech were the good guys. One time. Because you can't find one. There's not a single time in history when the people who were trying to cancel speech, trying to censor what you could say, and trying to ban books. There hasn't been a single time in history when they have been looked at as, oh, that was a good thing they did that. Never. Not once. Because they're not the good guys. I'm always going to be in favor of more speech, even if it's speech I disagree with. No, even when it's speech I disagree with. I disagree with immense amounts of speech. Look, there's one reason for trying to shut other people's voices down. It's because you can't defend your own point of view. If you are incapable of defending your views, incapable of defending your statements, then you try to shut the other people down and keep them from talking because you don't have the tools necessary to engage in a conversation with them and defend your own views. You don't have to defend them if you can just shut those other people up. And that seems to be the goal here. But then it gets carried away, and the next thing you know, you're tearing up. You know where we are? We're living in that city that that Footloose took place in. That's what's going on there. Remember how the John Lithgow, the preacher, he banned dancing and music and rock and roll and all that stuff. And the next thing you know, people are like burning books. And he's going, no, I didn't want that. Oh, well, too late. You open the door and this is what comes running through, dude. Chris is in Pell City with thoughts on the subject. Chris, you're on the Birmingham Broker phone line. What's on your mind, man?
Hey, Richard. First of all, if you really look at Dr. Seuss' books, he went out of his way to make every character so different from any other characters that were in there. Nothing looked the same, hardly. And they all got along just fine. So, I mean, they're creating, again, anything they can do to stir up something. And it's just amazing because it's almost like he went out of his way to show how differences don't matter.
Mm-hmm. I think that's fair. The Star-Bellied Sneetch is one of my favorite stories, you know?
And the second thing is the big stupid question of the day. Be assigned to be Nancy Pelosi's masseuse.
No, you're taking it too far.
Listen at that while looking at her on the table.
That's hell again. You're one step too far. That's hell. We're in hell now.
Overstepped it.
I can't do it. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you much.
Appreciate the call. 12:43. A brief cessure. We'll hurry back. Stick around. Right there, yeah. 1247 Talk 995, talk995.com, 545-9950, 844-455-9950. You know, if you have a legal problem, you don't need to start at that moment searching for somebody to handle your legal issue for you. You're already behind the eight ball at that point, okay? What you need is somebody that you can keep in your back pocket so that when you have a legal issue, you can make the call and talk to this person, and they can either handle it for you or they can steer you in the right direction to get you to somebody who can handle it for you. That person for me is Chuck Davis. He is what I would call my family lawyer. He's my lawyer, a guy that I can call at any time and say, Chuck, here's what I'm dealing with. Here's what I'm looking at. And he can say, yeah, I can take that case. I have that knowledge, and I think we can work with something. Or he can say, let me send you over to this other guy over here who is going to handle this better than I am because he's more proficient at it because it's something he specializes in. Chuck is a general practice lawyer, you know? He handles a lot of stuff. Yeah, personal injury, absolutely. Divorce, he can do that, sure. Contract disputes, not unusual in the slightest. Probate, yeah, sure. Land disputes, things of that nature, sure. But, you know, there are some stuff that he doesn't handle, and your best way to find out is to just give him a call, 205-823-9992, 823-9992 is his telephone number. Okay, ChuckDavisLaw.com on the World Wide Web. He does wills. He's doing $99 simple wills right now as well. More complex wills cost a little bit more. But, you know, just to have a lawyer in your phone so that if you do have an issue, you know, you're not suddenly shopping around and trying to find somebody who you can have as your advocate. And your initial consultation will cost you absolutely nothing. So if you talk to Chuck and tell him your story and he says you got a case, then you're good to go. And if he says, yeah, I don't think so, well, then don't waste your time. He knows what he's talking about. No representation is legal. I can get this out. I swear I can. I do it all the time. No representation is made that the legal services provided are superior to legal services provided by other attorneys. There. ChuckDavisLaw.com, 823-9992. Third time's a charm. 545-9950, 844-455-9950. Friend of mine in the radio business had a listener send him this text. Her name is Alex, and she dated a guy named Chuck. We don't have any last names. The text says this. Hi, Alex. Hope you're doing well. Would you mind letting me know what your Venmo is? The reason I ask is, since you and I won't be seeing each other anymore, it's only fair to ask for equal payment from you from the dates we went on. I believe it was three separate times we went out to bars, restaurants where I paid for us both each time. I'd say $35 is more than fair for your food and drinks that I got you during those dates. I view you as a fair girl. I hope you'll consider reimbursing me. Thanks. Alex cut it off with him after three dates, and he wants a refund.
You know, that's a way to definitely not be considered a cheapskate.
I think she probably escaped, just in time. If this is how the guy is going to behave, look, sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't work out. And by the way, you probably should have set up the rules of the dating ahead of time. I mean, like, you're going to pay for yourself and I'm going to pay for myself, and that's the way it's going to be. And if that was not agreed upon up front and you just took the tab and paid, Chuck, I think you're just SOL, my friend. I think you're just done. There ain't nothing you can do. You ain't going to get your $35 back. And by the way, really? $35? If you need $35 that badly, whew. Again, Alex managed to get out just in time.
But let's say three dates and he only spent $70. I mean,
come on. Yeah, that's another thing. Those dates must have been awfully short, or it was dollar night, or, you know.
Let's go to the value menu. It's 2 for $6 at Arby's.
Yeah, he took her to Western Sizzler and had a coupon and, you know, all that good stuff. It's just like, oh, classy guy, classy with a capital K. Nicely done, loser. Great googly moogly. Gas prices are up. AL.com says they're up 30 cents in a month. I don't know where they've been buying their gas, but I can tell you it's closer to 60 in my neck of the woods. I have a racetrack near me. Not the kind that you race on, a racetrack that is a gas station near me. And it was after Christmas. It was before Joe Biden's inauguration. I think it was probably shortly after January 6th, you know, because we all kind of remember that date, the insurrection. And gas prices were creeping up at that point, and they were nearing $2. Racetrack, notoriously low in gas prices, and it had gone from, I think, like 186 to 186 to like 194. And I was like, uh-oh, here it comes. Here it comes. I can see it coming. Gas prices going up. No good reason, by the way, at this time of year for gas prices to be going up. We all understand after Labor Day, gas prices come down. You know, Memorial Day, they go up because there's a lot of demand and there's a lot of summer travel. Not this past year, of course, but in other years. So there are times when we sort of understand that prices of gas are going to go up and down. It's going to fluctuate naturally within any given calendar year. But no good reason at this time of year for it to be going up. So I noted, I'm going to say it was arbitrarily January 10th, that the gas price had gone from 186 to 194. And I was like, wow, that's an 8-cent leap kind of all at once. That seemed like really high and really fast to me. Today I drove by. It is March the 2nd, which means that we are about 6 weeks, 7 weeks after my initials, $2.46 a gallon. $2.46 a gallon. That's 60 cents from the 186 that we had been at before Joe Biden was inaugurated. As I've said, the energy policies that make it harder to get at oil are causing this problem. And then a smart-ass friend of mine, who, God bless him, he's such a troll on the internet. I just love the guy because all he ever does is troll people, and I just laugh. But, he doesn't have the vaguest understanding of economics or how any of this works. And so he writes things that he thinks are smart-ass, like, well, I guess Biden is to blame for the price of gas going up all over the world. And the answer is, yeah, it's a worldwide commodity. Yes, he is. He is responsible. There's a finite amount of it in the world. And if we tighten our supply and others have to make up for that, and they're not increasing their production, then you still have a situation where you have the same demand but a smaller supply. What happens when you have the same demand but a smaller supply? The price goes up, and not just here. It goes up everywhere. Try not to write about or talk about or joke about things you don't fully understand, because it makes you look like an idiot. Back in a moment. Stick around.